This is tape number 5, side number 1, interview with Bill Lucas on July 18th, 1994, at his home at 260 Prospect in Ishpeming, and my name is Mary Andes. At the end of the last tape, we were talking about the stalactites and stalagmites at the Selwood Mine.
That was interesting, going through this one door. This heavy steel door, and a step back, look, there were stalagmites. They were up. All these about 8 to 10 feet in height. And they were just like weeds coming up in a garden. They were all over it. And thick. We said, what in the heck is that? And it was water been dripping down through the ceiling. And it was freezing. And to think of all them years that Selwood, since it had been abandoned, all this had formed, and none of them grew no more than about maybe 10 inches in diameter, but they were pretty, it's like a bunch of camels in shape, and there was hundreds of them in there, but we were able to wiggle through that forest of the stalagmites. We got to the other side, and then there was an open slope there. And that was, it was up maybe 30 feet high. And we followed that for a ways until we got where there was this one little shack. That's why I'm telling you about them boots that were there. That must have been sort of a first aid station or something. Because there was a boots with the sides cut open. And we even admired the type of boot that they had them days for wearing. There was nothing safety about them. They were just plain leather soles with pointy toes, like cowboy boots. And no wonder they were legs broken in there. And everything was, some places they had huge timbers holding up, propping up the backs, you know. And some of those timbers even, they went through one section of the mine there. It was quite wide at that spot, and they had this timber up at an angle, holding up, propping up the back. And we was wondering how in the world did they ever get those timber up there. Because those, they were up there about 18, 20 feet high. They were 16 inch timber. You know, they're that big already. And put them up, like hanging up, like from this, at this angle. And had to catch up on top. So they wouldn't fall down.
So that's not
how they ever get them up there. And there was one, there must have been, one area must have been a dozen of those props holding up. And there was a little, like a little track going by there where the men used to tram the ore out in little cars. Them cars were about the size of this here. One man buggies, they call them buggies. And you can imagine pushing that little buggy along the wheels. Wooden rails, there's no metal rails, all wood. And the rails were about maybe 16 inches apart. So he'd get his little cart full, he'd go push it down a couple hundred feet, get to a dump, and he'd dump it, and he'd come back for more. He'd go down to another lower level, and probably somebody else picked it up. It was handled maybe many times before it finally got to his final destination, where they could wheel it right out the shaft, you see. But that was something, yeah.
Remember seeing any tools or any other things like that laying around in the Selwood mine at all?
No. I can't think of anything else. There was there was old candles. We found a couple old hats and candles still there. Embedded inside the candle holder there is a like a spike there. And I'm just sorry that we didn't get a chance to do some more in there. But the first night we went in there, we told the boss already that when we get through with our work, that we got a couple hours to spend. He said, can we go in there and look around? He said, you can go, but he said, whatever you do, he said, be careful. I don't want anybody to get hurt in there. And he said, make sure you're out of there at quitting time and out shaft. So it's okay. And we had a chance to see. But then right next, across the road from the Brownstone Inn, there's another shaft there. It's a J shaft that goes down to the incline. Right behind, what's that clinic there? That Dr.
Swami?
Swami. Right behind is up on a couple hundred feet up on a little grade there. You notice that one tall building comes way up and touches a shaft house. That shaft is capped over. It's concreted and everything. But there's that went down, and it was put down at an angle, so it's come down into cliff shaft. It went way down. It was quite a deep shaft too. Mm-hmm. But I was never in that territory. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say what stopes they had there. Or they must have, because there was quite a few good sized stockpiles around there. Mm-hmm. So.
Was that particular one called the Incline Mine?
No, they just went by J shaft. Just J shaft.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Well, around here you hear it all about in the papers about these old mine workings and that, and old mine pits. And there is a lot of them around here now, even that they have not been able to really close them off. There's one over here going out south before you get to the Greenwood Mine. There's a road goes up in the hillside, and there's that one there. What the heck is that mine again? Pitch mine. And that's quite a deep mine there. And there's all kinds of old pits around there. And who evidently had put a fence there, that fence is all rotted out. And Queen and I even once there took a look down in there, and we could see down many hundred feet down in there. And it looked awful, you know, because all the timber and everything had rotted out. And the fence that was there, it wouldn't hold anybody back. Any animal even going through there would stumble in there, they'd fall in there. And there was never, it should have been fenced up. I don't know if it done today even. And that's danger. Mm-hmm. You fall down there, you'll die. You fall down in there. All you can see is water down the bottom down there, ragged rock on both sides, you know. And same thing all the way up north up there. There's this old mine there. Well, we call them test pits. So they call them mines in them days, you know. And some of them are water filled. There's one barbed wire around, but that had rotted, and there's nothing there to prevent a deer or a person from walking right into them holes. I came across behind the big dead many years ago. It was bird hunting time. And I was up on the rocky ledge there, and I started going down on the south side of it, and it was pretty smooth rock. And all of a sudden, my feet started to slide, you know. And I thought, uh-oh, am I going fast? And all of a sudden, I grabbed a hold of a brush that was on the side of me, and I stopped. And there, all of a sudden, my feet kicked over some brush that was in front of me. And all of a sudden, a hole appeared in front of me. Not quite as big as this here. Just say about this bit, about 3 feet diameter. And I look, what in the dickens? I said, boy, another second, I would have been down and went right down in there. But something all held me back. I grabbed that. And down there, I could see down there about 20 feet of water down there. And I thought, holy gee. I was thinking to myself, I wonder how deep that thing is. So anyway, I circled around, go down to be at the bottom of it, or the other end, and I dropped a good sized rock down there. Well, my geez, I could see the bubbles coming up for a long time, so I knew that's more than 20 feet down there. And whoever had mine there, this was before around the 1800s. There must have been, because all that wood and everything that was on top of it was rotted, and it just disappeared. Just like sawdust. And that's one thing that the safety men, they don't know nothing about them. And they should be, says one lady, that even a deer happen to walk through, or a rabbit or anything, they fall, they never get out. Because the inside of that hole was just as shiny as a gun barrel, you know. No toys, no.
Hello?
There's a lot of old abandoned pits up there. According to the book that I read, there's over 160 mines that were started in the 1870s and before that, right after the Civil War. And there's just behind there, the big dead where the camps are. There's three old mines there. There's the Phoenix, and there's the Fire Center, and then there's the Holyoke Mine. And the Holyoke Mine is the biggest one there. That's right at the intersection of the little dead and the big dead where they come together. And I walked in that. There was a drift that went in there about I'd say about 500 feet or so. And inside the drift, then there was side drift that went to the right side. And there was a shaft that went down from there then. And I don't know how deep that shaft went down. And that was... I think there was silver, lead, and gold in that mine. But then then I guess everything petered out. And if they had the treatment that they have now, and the mechanism, they could made it pay. But they weren't them days. They were after the gold nuggets. Now their mining is like powder. It's just 1 ounce to about 50 tons of dirt. That's what it amounts to. Sure, but they got to handle so much dirt now, and they get it pounded. But I read these articles the last couple of days on that Western mining, and boy, it's a problem. Sure, and there's a lot of them go belly up. They start off big, and all of a sudden, they haven't got the resource to continue, and they leave a mess behind. And who ends up cleaning them up is the EPA, sir. And they said it's all over out there, and it listed all the different companies that have paid heavy fines.
Do you by any chance remember the name of the book that you read that identified all the locations of the old mines in the Big Dead area? And
yes, it's available at the library, Michigan Gold Mines, or UP Gold Mines, something. That's UP Gold Mines. It's available at the library. Yeah, I think it's even available at the Upers.
Okay.
I think I've seen it.
Is that Dan Fountain's book?
Yeah. And it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a...
Start again to tell me the story about the test pits north of Silver Lake and the sale of bogus stock certificates.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, Dad bought some when he was... young miner in Ishming, and he bought 100 shares of Tenemec copper mining gold stocks in New Mexico. And I often wondered, whatever happened, somebody said this, that company went broke. And I thought to myself, I wonder if it did go broke, maybe they just deliberately swindled the people around here into, you know, but you can then get money and take off. But quite a few people have told me, said, you know, you should have had some way, if you could have traced the origin of that company, you know, it's all on the certificate, 100 shares at $1 a share. Imagine, now that paid for that. And he never got nothing, but he still got it. If maybe still good.
Mm-hmm. Were there, was there stock like that sold for those test pits north of Silver Lake too, or was that something entirely different?
No.